A series of eerie public service announcements. Inexplicable footage of a strange man on a flickering TV screen. Welcome back to Did You Hear That? It's your host, Milky T, and tonight we are diving into the unsettling world of the Mandela Catalog. This viral series has been creeping out viewers with its strange mix of horror and mystery, leaving us all questioning what's real and what's not. We're going to dissect the creepiest moments, explore fan theories, and get to know the creator behind this spooky phenomenon. So, tuck yourself in, pull your covers way up to your chin, and let's unravel the mysteries of the Mandela Catalog. I can't do this intro. This is a shitty intro. Can we just... let's just go. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Did You Hear That? I am your host, Milky T. And today, we are diving deep, deep, deep into one of the most intriguing and spine-chilling series to hit YouTube in recent years, The Mandela Catalog. So if you're a fan of analog horror, eerie storytelling, and the unsettling feeling that comes from watching grainy VHS tapes, or if the movie Poltergeist has completely traumatized you, then buckle up, buckaroos, because this adventure is going to be a wild ride, because this episode is going to be a wild ride. Wow. This episode's getting off to a great start. So, also, before we get any deeper into this episode, I also do want to thank you for your continued support of the Patreon, as it is your contributions that make something like this possible, and you keep the lights on here in Blanket Fortian. Wrong podcast. That is the outro or intro to Astonishing Legends, which is a great horror podcast. If you're looking for something to entertain you on long car rides and you feel a little uncomfortable of having this voice talk to you while you're sitting in traffic, you might want to give Astonishing Legends a try. They're two pretty funny guys, although they have gotten a little verbose in the recent years. Anyway, so, for those of you who aren't familiar, the Mandela Catalog is a web series on YouTube that blends analog horror with psychological thriller elements. It's presented through a series of found footage, faux public service announcements, and other retro media formats. There's an overarching story when it comes to the Mandela Catalogs, and it revolves around sinister entities known as alternates, who can mimic humans and create chaos and fear in a small town. I've also seen people refer to them as doppelgangers, which, you know, please excuse my absolute butchering of the German word. Trinky, don't at me. Anyways, so this series has gained a massive following for its unique style and deeply unsettling content. So I'm going to just go to the YouTube page right here right now. We're going to talk a little bit about the creator, who has somewhat of a interesting allegations that have been made in his general direction, kind. But that's not really going to be, you know, big here. So the first video that came out of from the Mandela Catalogs by the creator Alex Kister, who is currently sitting at almost 1 million subscribers, with only 21 videos. Wow. Anyways, the first video that is posted is called Overthrown. And Overthrown is basically, he has taken bits and pieces from a children's Christian video about, like, the origins of Christ, basically, or the story of the Bible. And he splices it in with these incredibly disturbing imagery, creepy sounds, and he kind of really perverts the idea of, you know, the all-benevolent God. Although, you know, if you've read the Bible, you'll know that in through the entirety of the Old Testament, God is basically just a big dick. He's an asshole. And I think even the people who are religious and for some reason listening to this will agree with me. Not the nicest guy. But somehow, the kind of antagonist in the series is somehow even worse. all right, let's go back to the script. So, what exactly is the Mandela Catalog, and what makes it so captivating? So, the series kicks off with seemingly innocent broadcasts. Excuse the cat. Public service announcements, emergency alerts, and educational videos, which, you know, overthrown is. And they slowly reveal a darker, more sinister reality lurking beneath the surface. To truly appreciate the Mandela Catalog, we need to understand the genre it belongs to. Analog horror. Analog horror is a subgenre that uses outdated media formats like VHS tapes, CRT television broadcasts, and old radio transmissions to create a sense of nostalgia and unease. The grainy visuals, glitchy audio, and the inherent imperfection of these formats add to the horror, making it feel more real and immediate. So the analog horror genre has its roots in the early 2000s with works like Marble Hornets, which utilized found footage to tell a very chilling story about the Slender Man. And over time, creators began to experiment with different formats, leading to the development of analog horror as we know it today. The Mandela Catalog, as it is right now, fits perfectly into this genre, using its retro aesthetic to draw viewers in and keep them on the edge of their seats. And I know that because just an hour ago, we were watching a bunch of videos. And boy, was it quiet in that voice chat. Although, you know, that could have just been people being respectful. I don't know. Anyway, so what makes analog horror so effective is its ability to blend the familiar with the uncanny. By using formats that we associate with childhood memories and past technologies, analog horror creates a sense of nostalgia. But when these familiar elements are twisted and corrupted, they become deeply unsettling. And it's this combination of the known and the unknown that makes analog horror so powerful. Additionally, the use of outdated technology in analog horror adds to the sense of isolation and helplessness. In this digital age, you know, right now, we're accustomed to having all the information and communication at our fingertips. You know, but in the world of analog horror, characters often find themselves cut off from help, forced to rely on outdated and unreliable technology. This isolation amplifies the horror, making the character struggles feel more desperate. So, now that I've kind of done a broad overview of what analog horror is, let's, and please excuse the creaking chair, I gotta get a new chair. Sorry, I'm gonna take a quick water break here. Now, let's delve into. Why did I screw this shot? Now, let's talk about the Mandela Catalog itself. This series is structured around various digital files that recount supernatural events in an eerie occurrences in a small town called Mandela County. These files include public service announcements, emergency alerts, and security footage, which all contribute to the overarching narrative. So, one of the central elements of the Mandela Catalog is the concepts of alternates. These entities are capable of mimicking human appearance and behavior, often leading to paranoia and terror who encounter them. The idea of being replaced by an almost perfect doppelganger, sorry, Trinky, is deeply unsettling. I mean, it's creepy, right? And it really taps into our primal fears of identity and safety. So, the series begins with a seemingly mundane PSA, on the TV, you know, warning residents about a new threat in their community. And this video sets the tone for the entire series, blending the ordinary with the extraordinary in a way that feels both familiar and incredibly disturbing. So, there are multiple videos, and he kind of sets them up in volumes too. And they're each, like, segment is presented as though they are pieces of a larger puzzle, with us, the viewers, having to piece together the story from just random clips here and there. So, and you know, I find that this kind of fragmented storytelling approach not only engages us, the audience, but it also kind of makes the horror even deeper by because we don't know what's happening, and so our mind is left to fill in the blanks, and oftentimes we start thinking about the worst possible things, right? So let's talk about some of the most key, I guess, episodes and moments that make this series, you know, so popular. One of the most iconic episodes is probably the very first one, titled Overthrown, which is what I was talking about earlier. So this episode introduces the concept of alternates and sets up the terrifying atmosphere that permeates the entire series. And the combination of retro visuals and the disturbing content kind of creates, like, I mean, once you see the video, you're probably never going to forget it. Another standout episode is probably Intruder Alert, which features a series of emergency broadcasts warning residents about the presence of an intruder, like the alternates, right? So the use of real-world emergency alert systems adds a layer of authenticity to the horror, making it feel like something that could actually happen. So the episode's gradual, really gradual escalation from a standard alert to a full-blown panic situation is absolutely riveting. The next episode that I kind of want to talk about is called Mandela Tech Support, which it takes the form of a tech support tutorial. And so as the tutorial progresses, it becomes very obvious that something is wrong with glitches and strange messages appearing on the screen. This episode is a really great example of how the series uses, you know, like, these formats to just really kind of give you a sense of unease, that, and it kind of pokes at you just a little bit. Another episode that we saw was called Mandela Police, which delves into the law enforcement's attempts to deal with the alternates. And this episode actually provided a more structured narrative showing the procedural side of dealing with supernatural threats. I don't think it ended well particularly, but, you know, it's hard to say because it's left very ambiguous, just like the majority, if not all, of the videos that are in the Mandela catalog. I'm gonna take another water break. Sorry, I've been talking all day today. So now let's talk about, like, the themes and symbolism that you can find in the Mandela catalog. So the Mandela catalog is absolutely rife with themes and symbolism. And it is, I think it is a series that absolutely rewards you with for careful viewing and analysis. One of the central themes is the idea of identity and what it means to be human, I think. I don't know. That's just what I thought. The alternates, they kind of challenge our understanding of self and other, blurring the line between reality and imitation. And this theme is explored through the characters' interactions with the alternates and their struggles to determine who is real and who is not. And if they are not real, then apparently you must never talk to them. You must never acknowledge their presence. I don't think it's ever, like, stated explicitly what would happen if you did, like, acknowledge them and talk to them. But I think, like, the implication is that if you do, it won't go well. Probably, right? Another recurring theme is the fear of the unknown. The Mandela Catalog, it thrives on ambiguity. And it leaves us with even more questions than answers. Like, we'll watch a video and we'll be like, oh yeah, now we figure it out. And that's so much bullshit, because it just makes you have even more questions, right? And so this uncertainty is a key part of what makes the Mandela Catalog so effective as an entry into the analog horror genre. It forces us to talk and have, you know, very heated discussions of what we just saw. And it forces viewers to confront their own fears and anxieties. The series also touches on themes of isolation and paranoia. The characters in the Mandela Catalog are alone, often, and facing the horror of the alternates without any support. So this isolation amplifies the terror. As viewers, us, we are left to imagine how we would react in a similar situation. The sense of being watched and manipulated by an unseen force is a common thread throughout the series. And it's kind of interesting, because when you, like, watch the videos and there is something that is talking to you. And, like, I think in the first video, Overthrown, it's kind of implied that it's, like, a fallen angel or a demon, the devil, something. But it's a very common, like, thing for people to be afraid of, right? Hell, the forces of evil, good versus evil, kind of. There was a point that I wanted to make there and I just completely lost it. Interesting. Anyways, did I plan for this? I did not. I tried my best. The Mandela Catalog, I think it has had a very significant impact on the genre and the broader horror community. I mean, you just look at the sub count of this, like, almost 1 million subscribers. Let's see, 50 million views. Kind of crazy for a channel that only has 21 videos. And there is absolutely no doubt the influence that this channel has had. It's and its unique blend, or you know, just analog horror in general, right? The unique blend of retro aesthetics and psychological horror obviously has inspired numerous other creators to explore similar themes and formats. And I really believe that this series has absolutely become a benchmark for analog horror, setting a very high standard for storytelling and atmosphere. If you go and ask any horror-like fan what are the best videos that they would recommend for analog horror, the Mandela Catalog is almost always mentioned. It's like in the top three. So it's Mandela Catalog, Channel 7, I think it's called. And I'm totally blanking. I just had lunch and I'm carb crashing. So my brain is no work well. I'm trying to drink a lot of water, but it's not working out too well for me, as you can tell. But there is absolutely no doubt, though, that this series has also garnered an incredibly dedicated fan base with, you know, and if you go into the comments, or rather, if you went into the comments before he, there's a couple of videos where he turned off the comments, but these comments, I think, is proof that this is a genre that is very much beloved. And you have these commenters who just dissect every new episode. And there's theories about the overarching narrative, right? And I think this kind of level of engagement is proof to the depth and complexity of the series, as well as its ability to resonate with the audiences on a very profound, almost like kind of like visceral level. Online forums and like such as Reddit and Facebook, and even like TikTok, people are talking about the Mandela catalog, and they're analyzing the series. And I think I don't think there is a corner of the web that this particular channel hasn't really touched, especially if it's a you know, if you were to do like a Venn diagram of like people, horror movies, and then the Mandela catalog somewhere in the middle. Oh, again, there was a point I was going to make. Completely lost the plot on that one. So obviously, you know, I think the reason the Mandela catalog is so popular, I think, is because it approaches horror in a very interesting way, with the way that the videos are set up. And it's, this channel does not rely on jump scares or explicit violence. I mean, like, even with the police one, you don't, when there's a policeman who goes and checks out this very haunted house. Well, haunted, right? Haunted's not the right word. This house. And he has to shoot this creature. You don't actually see the gun. You don't know if he's actually shot the thing. You just hear the gunshots. And it's interesting that they can elicit the sense of dread and horror without having to rely on jump scares. Like, I was watching these videos and I kept on expecting something to get me. Never happened, except for a single binaural door knock that was kind of off to my right, or off to my left. Sorry, I can't tell my rights from my lefts. Anyways, that was off to my left, kind of behind me. And it got everyone else in VC. And I think the Mandela catalog, the series, it really demonstrates that sometimes the most effective horror is the kind that kind of creeps up on you. And it stays with you, right? Long after you turn off your computer, you're lying in bed right now, maybe, and you're still thinking about it. That shit's creepy. So, the slow buildup of tension and the use of very subtle horror elements really makes the series stand out in an incredibly crowded horror genre. One of the, so now we're going to talk about like the fan theories and speculations. And one of the most fun aspects of the Mandela catalog is the sheer number of fan theories and speculations that these series have spawned. So fans have come up with all kinds of interpretations and explanations for the events that are depicted. And I'm going to talk about a few of these theories. So one of the bigger theories is that the alternates are part of like a larger cosmic horror narrative, which is kind of similar to the stories by H.P. Lovecraft. So these theories often revolve around the ideas that the alternates are entities from another dimension sent to invade and corrupt our reality. The series' use of distorted media and cryptic messages, don't mind him. He's just meowing because I've closed the door and I won't let him in here. Because I did that this morning and he puked all over my keyboard. So yeah, he's not allowed in my room anymore. Anyway, so where am I? Right. The way that the videos have like these distorted media and then like the messages, I think I think kind of supports this interpretation of a cosmic horror kind of thing. And it really kind of creates like the sense of like an unseen malevolent force at work. So another theory that I've seen is that It's Mandela Catalog. It's not so much a scary, but it's a commentary on the nature of media and how it shapes our perception of reality. This particular theory posits that the alternates represent the pervasive influence of media, blurring the lines between truth and fiction. The use of PSAs and emergency broadcasts in the series highlights the power of media to manipulate and control, suggesting a deeper, more insidious message. And then there's another thing. There's this one theory about the actual nature of the Mandela Catalog itself, with some people speculating that it's a really elaborate alternate reality game, which is designed to blur the lines between fiction and reality. I haven't seen too many people talk about this, but it does pop up sometimes in a few threads. And another theory is it involves the concept of the Mandela effect, which is where the Mandela Catalog maybe takes its name from. And if you don't know what the Mandela effect is, it's a phenomenon where a large group of people remember an event differently from how it occurred. Some fans have speculated that the series is named after this phenomenon to suggest that the events depicted are alternate realities or altered memories, adding to the overall sense of disorientation and mystery. So let's talk about like the future of this channel. As of now, right now, June 6th, 1:18 p.m. The channel is still going. The last video was posted. The last video was posted a month ago, and then there's teasers for Volume 5. And he still has a Patreon, which his last update was May 25th. And he says it's going to be the last text update before Volume 5. So I think that's probably going to happen quite soon. And we'll probably do a watch party thing for that. Why not, right? I don't think this series is showing any signs of slowing down. And it's going to be interesting to see where the story goes from here. Alex has, I think, from what I've seen of his social media posts, he's kind of hinted at like future episodes, exploring like the alternate's origins and the broader implications of their existence in this universe. I think one of the most exciting aspects of the Mandela Catalog is its potential for expansion. The rich, multi-layered narrative leaves plenty of room for spin-offs and prequels and other forms of media. And, you know, whether it's through, like, additional YouTube episodes or, like, graphic novels or, you know, whatever. I think there's a lot that can be plumbed from these depths, right? And as a fan of the Mandela Catalog, we can really only speculate what the future holds for this particular web series. But I think this series has left its mark on the horror genre, and I think that I will be thinking about this series for a very long time. And I'm really excited to see where it goes from here. I had a brief skeleton about like the points that I wanted to make and like notes and everything, and then I didn't actually write the outro, so now I'm like, how am I gonna end this podcast? Fuck. I guess I could just say, that's all, folks. Have a good night, and I'll see you in the next episode. But that would be a little too abrupt, right? I think this series is... Oh, right, that's right. Also, if you do your own research into the Mendel catalog, you will probably see some... stuff about the creator, Alex Kister. And they are not good things. I was not really aware of this, but someone in VC pointed out that there's been some allegations against him, and I don't know if these allegations are going to get in the way of him making any more new content in this universe. I have heard from some people that, I mean, it's kind of, at this point, it's kind of like a he said, she said kind of scenario. But I really do think that this series, it's an absolutely, oh my God, that cat. It is an absolutely fascinating and terrifying journey into the analog horror world. And I really hope that these past 30 minutes have kind of given you a greater appreciation for the series. And, you know, whether you're like a fan of the Mendel catalog or you've never heard of it before, you cannot deny its impact on the horror genre on YouTube and the absolute brilliance of the storytelling. I mean, the videos are great. Anyways, if you have enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear about it. If you have any more, if you want to talk about it more, you can always message me on Patreon. I'm trying to be better about answering, you know, messages there, but a lot of times my Patreon won't update and I won't see a message until it's like a week later. So I do apologize about that. I am on my Discord, so we can always talk about it on Discord. We'll probably do a watch party of Volume 5 when it comes out. I will make sure to leave a note in Patreon when that happens. Yeah. Anyways, so until next time, sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite. And remember, the monster under your bed just wants to be your friend. Have a good night, guys. I'll see you next time.